Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to The Bubbling Adventure, a podcast all about kids and how positive education and conscious parenting can impact their entire life as well as society. I am your host, Julie, and each Thursday we are having conversations with guests on different themes, and our aim is to have open discussions, share different points of view, and learn in a non-judgmental way. Today, we are having an enlightening conversation with Susan Landers on dealing with burnout. Susan, a neonatologist, author of So Many Babies, and mother of three, talks about the signs of burnout, ways to feel better and less overwhelmed, parenting nowadays, and finding balance as a working parent. She also shares her own story on how long it took her to recover from her burnout. I really enjoyed this episode and I hope that you will too. As always, thank you so much for listening. Make sure to subscribe if you haven't already. You can also write a review if you're listening from Apple Podcasts, click on the 5-star button on Spotify and join us on Instagram at The Bubbling Adventure for daily positive education content. But without further ado, let's begin.
Papa, papa, en faisant cette chanson.
Maman, papa.
Hi, Susan. How are you today?
Hi, Julie. I am well. Talking to you from Austin, Texas.
Yes, thank you so much for joining. Can you please introduce yourself to the audience?
I am a retired neonatologist. I practiced in the neonatal intensive care unit for 34 years. A neonatologist is a pediatrician who is specially trained to take care of premature babies and sick newborns in the neonatal intensive care unit. I loved my work there. I got to take care of lots of sick babies over the years and meet lots of parents and attend many, many high-risk deliveries. It was a wonderful place to work. Some days were very intensive. Other days were less so. But I enjoyed my career and enjoyed getting to know so many different people. Interestingly, since I retired a few years back, I have been missing the teamwork that we experienced in the neonatal ICU. My job could only be done with the help of nurses and respiratory therapists and social workers and lactation consultants. The NICU is a busy place and lots of people work there, but it takes all the members of the team to make the work possible.
Yes, I mean, this is a very fulfilling job, but also pretty tough, right? So what made you want to do this? And it's very admirable because we do need people like you to help with these issues. And yeah.
Right. I loved pediatrics and I found the intensive care unit to be a calling and to provide me with an outlet for enjoying excitement and surprises. In the ICU, there are lots of procedures, lots of catheters, lots of tubes, lots of ventilators, lots of medication. And most of the time, coordinating all of those things and deciding what to use is actually fun. It's not just intellectually challenging, but it's also very satisfying. Yes, it can be stressful. People have heard about tiny babies being born and going into the NICU and not surviving. There were many cases where babies were too premature before viability and could not survive. There were full-term babies who had overwhelming infections or brain abnormalities, and they didn't survive. But mostly the children that we took care of got better, and the technology that we had worked. Now, some kids were in the NICU for 2 or 3 days, some for a week or 10 days. The tiniest preemies would be there for 4 to 6 months. So it really depended on what the baby's condition was. And my opportunity to get to know parents also depended on how long the baby was in the NICU and how much the mother and father trusted me throughout their child's care.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is very important. So the relationship that you develop with parents and how to use the right words to reassure them, and you know, the empathy that you must have as well to be able to communicate on hard, you know, diagnosis and so on.
So yes. It was challenging. And I think that when you first start out, you're eager to do everything you possibly can. And then as you get some years of practice in your career, you realize that there are choices to be made. And sometimes a baby needs comfort care and not a full court press. And so those kinds of discussions and those kind of decisions do require a great deal of compassion. However, I have to tell you, Julie, there was a time in my late career where I was working too many hours and I was becoming emotionally overwhelmed. And I started to disconnect from my patients and their parents. And I actually felt like I wasn't making a difference. I had really classic physician burnout. Mm-hmm. I felt horrible. I couldn't sleep. I was losing weight. One of my partners noticed that my attitude had changed, and he actually said to me one afternoon, "Have you lost your compassion? What's going on with you?" And that's when I realized that I actually was burned out. And at the very last 3 years of my career, I had the opportunity to pull back on my hours, go practice in a low-risk labor and delivery unit, take care of mostly healthy babies, talk to moms about breastfeeding and safe sleep. And I recovered from my burnout by doing some things to take care of myself while I wasn't working so much.
This is very interesting. And yes, indeed, a lot of people don't necessarily notice that they're burnt out, and it sometimes comes from external source, right? That like they notice the difference. So it's good that your colleague, first of all, noticed and said something in a productive way, was rather than just a judgmental way that could actually make it worse. So I think it's good to take that approach and try to help rather than do the opposite.
Well, lots of us in healthcare, and actually I think parents working in the world today, are at risk for burnout when we get so stressed and so involved in our work that it overtakes the other parts of ourselves. When we don't like our boss, when we don't like our job, if we don't like our coworkers, some of those kind of situations tend to increase burnout if you work in a chaotic environment. And I had some particularly difficult ethical cases to deal with those last few years. And I'm sure that's what hastened my burnout. And you know, what I was able to do that helped, I like to talk about this because people need to realize that you can recover from burnout. I talked to a therapist, a psychotherapist. I took piano lessons. I had lunches with friends. I exercised. I became an exercise nut. I loved walking and running in nature, but I also went to the gym and exercised. And over a two-year period with my therapist, I was able to sort through all the issues that had overwhelmed me. And in learning, relearning to take care of myself, my burnout lifted and my attitude improved.
Right. So the 2 years, is it from the moment you found out, or are you estimating kind of the time where it started?
I think that the burnout time that was toughest was about a year. Because I kept plodding along thinking I can do this, I can do this. I've always done this. I just need to work harder. And then when I realized I was burned out and cut back my hours and changed my work location to an easier job, that took about a year to 18 months to recover. So it's not flipping a switch. I'm sorry to say. For people who are burned out, if they're fortunate enough to realize that they are, and they're fortunate enough to have somebody to talk to, they will need to apply themselves to self-care, methods for resiliency, taking care of relationships, rekindling friendships, going to the gym. There are lots of things that they will have to relearn to do, and that takes some time to get better.
Yes, that makes sense. And so how can we know, for example, that it is a burnout and not something else? Like, is there a specific period of time that, for example, just being stressed out would not, you know, last that long? Or how can you be sure it's a burnout and another form of depression?
Yes, that's a great question. I created a little checklist for working moms on my website, SusanLandersMD.com/burnout.
We will put it on the links as well so that everybody can click on it right now and do the test.
Oh, good. I wanted moms especially to be able to sort through what their stressors were. And whether the stresses of having children, having household duties, having a job, maintaining a partnership or a marriage, I wanted them to be able to figure out which of those things were contributing to their feeling worse. And in going through the checklist, it's just 21 items. People have told me that they go, oh yeah, I'm doing okay. And other people have said, I'm actually pretty stressed out. And a couple of young women, nurse practitioners, said, I am clearly burned out. What should I do? And I said, well, you've got to address this. So there are methods to figure out if your stress is so extreme, so chronic that you really are burnt out. From my reading, my understanding is that you are physically exhausted. You are emotionally overwhelmed. You detach from your work and from your coworkers, and you feel like you're no longer making a difference. Those are the main components of burnout, whether it's healthcare provider or any job burnout. If you think you're no longer contributing or making a difference, if your job is no longer fulfilling and all you feel is exhausted and overwhelmed, it's a good chance that you could be burned out.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This is very interesting. Thank you. It's very helpful, and I invite everyone to do it at home and follow the checklist just to make sure, because you never know.
You never know. And the pandemic has brought out so many stressors and increased stressors for parents. Can you imagine working from home, having your children at home, remote learning? In the U.S., children weren't in school. I can't remember whether France closed down schools, but yes. lots of parts of Europe did. And so parents were at home with their kids, being forced to do their regular jobs, all the household duties, and teach their children, and all the relationship struggles. So I think the pandemic really increased our prevalence of burnout, but it's also increased our ability to talk about it. Like your podcast, you're allowing me to talk about it is a great thing. People who listen to this will ask themselves, am I just stressed or do I really have burnout?
Yes. And that's the goal as well, is just shedding light on many different subjects and making people ask themselves questions and so on. And you're right. I feel like parents were having three jobs at once during the pandemic, and also sometimes some health scares and financial issues and so on. So yeah, definitely wasn't the best for everyone. But you're right. I think we do talk about mental health more than we used to, and people are more aware as well about our life at home, what it looks like. And I think people do talk about a little bit more about these type of things, but still it depends in which industries and it depends where, I guess. So it's good to also ask yourself, because I've certainly felt that the change from lockdown to back to normal life was very tough as well. And I feel like I don't even understand how we were doing it before, because it feels like I don't have time to go out and see my friends. You see what I mean? Like it's really different from before COVID, and I don't know how we were doing it. And so,
human beings don't like change in general. And we all adjusted to the pandemic because of fear of the virus. And we were seeing people die from this virus, you know, mostly old people, But even children were getting the virus. And I thought that was terrifying. And it was terrifying for parents, of course. And so changing to the lockdown was difficult. And then when the pandemic pressures relaxed a little, going back to work was also a transition, something difficult, something different. Is remote work as good as being in the office? I don't think we know that yet. And if people are confused about when they're more productive, that's normal. We're changing. And again, human beings don't like change. When we have to adjust to changes in our life, that's when we are called upon to use our strength.
Yes, that's true. Everything takes a bit of time. So, right. Yeah. And so you said that you really wanted to be a perfect mother, but obviously you had a very demanding job. And so I was wondering, what was your experience, because you have three children, mm-hmm. and how was it working and, you know, raising them and finding your space in both worlds?
Oh, thank you for asking. When I started, like many professional women, I wanted to be a perfect mother. And I became a physician before I became a mother. So I thought it would be easy. But when you have little children and they get sick and the babysitter doesn't show up and your husband can't help as much as you think, reality sets in and you learn that you cannot be at work and be at home and be a mother at the same time. It's impossible. And so the first thing you learn as a working mother is you can't be two places at once. And you have to learn to let people help you. You have to ask for help. You have to tell your husband or partner what you want him or her to do to help you. And so as I had children during the first 7 years of my career, I learned to be a working mother. Again, it's not like flipping a switch, because each kid is different. And my first was an easy baby, but a difficult toddler. My second was a very easy toddler, and she had a difficult adolescence. My third, it was totally different than the first two. And so as a parent, while you're working at your job or at your career, if you have children, you become a different working parent with each child. And I think it's a big adjustment. I like to tell people it took me 7 to 10 years to learn to be a good enough working mother, where I could ask for help, where it was okay if I didn't get to every single preschool party, where it was all right if I missed a soccer game because I was working. And those kind of things seem small to talk about them, but when you're a mother with a little kid, those are big deals to your child. And so you do have to learn to make decisions and choose between your work and your family. And for me, it took a little time, Julie. And I was a pediatrician, and it took me a little time. And so I want working mothers and dads to know that what they're doing is really a work in progress. They are learning how to be a better parent as they go along. And that's just the way it is. And the pandemic, again, put a big ringer through all of that. And people are still adjusting and improving and asking questions about how to be a good parent.
Yes, which is the most important thing, is to do your best, right? And that's already great. But so what are the main differences between being a working mother compared to a working father to you, and if any?
Yeah, I'll tell you a story. My husband had a great job offer, and we moved from Houston to a job in the South. He had a promotion and a great job offer, and my job wasn't very good. And I had three little kids, and I had to find a new school. We found a new house, a new neighborhood. I left all my friends behind, and my husband was having a great time, just the best job in the world. I was so unhappy. you know, I tried to hire a nanny. I think I had a couple of different nannies. But the point of this story is that one parent was doing great and having a good time with his work. And he helped me with the kids, but not as much as I wanted. And I was struggling and I didn't have my friends for social support. And it was a new job and the kids were in a new school. And three little kids is a lot of work when you're at home. And so I had a really rough time of it. And our marriage suffered because he was doing so well and I wasn't. And I became resentful. So the other thing that working parents have to watch out for is how the balance is in their relationship. Are both people feeling pretty good? Are both people contributing to childcare and household activities? That's, in my view, what's so important about being working parents. If the mom is carrying everything, it's not going to work.
I completely agree. Yeah, this is very valuable. And it's a good time to check in with yourself and your intuition and just like ask yourself the questions so that you're better equipped to communicate with your partner. So let it be your cue, people listening from home.
Right.
Is there any last advice that you would like to share?
I think the best advice that I could give young parents or young people working in this world is to learn how to take care of yourself. Everybody talks about making a list of your priorities and categorizing the priorities and deciding which ones are crucial, you know, number them, write them down, all of that. But if you don't put yourself on your list, taking care of your own self, your mental health, your physical health, your spiritual health, you will not thrive. Mm-hmm. I had so many ups and downs in my career, and I am positive in retrospect that during the times when I really took care of myself, when I exercised, when I had a hobby, when I talked with friends, when I had a therapist, when my husband and I went through issues and worked on our marriage, I can remember specific things that helped me be a better person, and I had a happier, more productive life. So my advice is learn how to take care of yourself and put yourself on your list of priorities.
Yes, this is very true. This is something that is so important, self-care. It's definitely not the first time that we talk about self-care on the podcast, but it's about finding what works for you as well, because there's so many different types of self-care and some people might not like to light a candle and go take a bath, you know, so you need to find exactly what works for you. And it's fun because you get to try different things out and see what, like how you feel after, before, and so on. So yes, I think it's very important. And then you model that to your kids, which is good as well. So they
exactly
know that it's important, and we kind of like break that cycle.
Exactly. Role models are so important for children. Mm-hmm. And when you're young, like you are in your 20s, developing habits that you can use throughout the rest of your career, the rest of your adult life is really important. You know, I don't know if people have read Atomic Habits by James Clear. It's a great book about how to develop habits that are positive, but it's really important. I think looking back on my career, the habits that were good for me carried me through. It's really that simple.
Yeah, this is great. Thank you so much, Susan. We will leave all of your links in the description box so everyone who wants to read your book and check out your work can find it easily, and as well as the checklist to know if you're burnt out or not. So thank you so much for all this very valuable information.
Oh, you are so welcome. Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you so much for listening. Feel free to share if you think it might be helpful to someone you know. If you enjoyed this episode, then please make sure to write a review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts and subscribe if you haven't already. That's it for me. See you soon with the next episode. And in the meantime, have a lovely day.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com. A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.